Today is Tuesday, September 29th. What to expect tonight at the first Trump-Biden debate. And we'll tell you the impact of some major outages, including 911 going down, and what may have been the largest ever cyber attack on a U.S. hospital chain. Plus, new evidence to share from Mars, the CDC's guidance for the fall holidays, and a famous TV show mansion available on Airbnb. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Tonight's the night. President Trump and his Democratic challenger Joe Biden will have their first one-on-one, face-to-face debate. It comes as early in-person and mail-in voting are already underway, and we're just 5 weeks away from Election Day. Tonight's debate is expected to get pretty heated. The two candidates have largely different opinions about how to solve the nation's biggest problems. They're expected to talk about issues like the vacancy on the Supreme Court, the coronavirus pandemic, as well as race and violence in American cities. This debate is happening in Cleveland, Ohio. Both candidates will be there in person. And to allow for physical distancing, the Washington Post says only about 80 to 90 people will be in the crowd. Of course, the whole nation can watch live on TV. Fox News Sunday anchor Chris Wallace will moderate the debate. On his show over the weekend, he mentioned it, saying, quote, "My job is to be as invisible as possible." He says he'll try to keep the candidates focused on the key issues and give undecided voters at home a sense of why they might want to vote for one candidate over the other. The debate will be commercial-free on every major network and cable news channel tonight, starting at 9 Eastern. The New York Times says it's expected to attract a TV or live streaming audience of close to 100 million people. People in several states were not able to call 911 last night because of an outage. It affected calls in Minnesota, Indiana, Illinois, Nevada, Ohio, Arizona, and Delaware. Reports say the outage lasted less than an hour, so calls should be working now. But emergency officials around the country are asking people not to call just to test out the system, because in some places, that's left 911 operators overwhelmed, and they worry real emergency calls might not be able to get through. So far, it's not clear what caused the outage. One FCC commissioner has already said there should be an investigation. Separately, a major hospital chain was hit by what appears to be one of the largest medical cyber attacks in U.S. history. We're talking about Universal Health Services, which has more than 400 locations, most of which are in the U.S. Computers apparently just started shutting down over the weekend. So USA Today reports medical staff are now working off pen and paper to get by, and ambulances started sending patients to neighboring hospitals instead. Universal Health Services posted a statement confirming it's currently offline because of a security issue. Experts tell NBC News this is likely a ransomware attack, which means a malicious software that spreads across computer networks encrypting files. Hackers usually demand payment to undo the damage. For now, at least, Universal Health Services does not think any patient or employee data has been compromised. Still, it could be days before computers are up and running again. And lastly, a third major tech outage last night for Microsoft 365. Microsoft tweeted that most users should be back online, but programs like Outlook, Office, and Teams were impacted yesterday. At this point, there's no indication that any of these outages are connected. There's another unfortunate milestone in the coronavirus pandemic. More than a million people around the world have now died from COVID-19 since the first confirmed death just 9 months ago. And the true death toll might even be higher. The World Health Organization says these numbers from Johns Hopkins University likely underestimate the true toll of COVID-19 because not every country is focused on data collection. The World Health Organization's director general also announced a deal to send 120 million rapid coronavirus tests around the world, with a lot of them going to low- and middle-income countries. This should be helpful because these tests have a turnaround time of less than 30 minutes, and they don't need to be taken to a lab to get a result. Though, keep in mind, scientists have warned in the past, those rapid tests are not always accurate, certainly not as accurate as traditional ones that are tested in a lab, but they do pick up most cases. Two new wildfires are growing out of control in Northern California. The so-called Zog Fire is burning in Shasta County, about 200 miles north of San Francisco. That one is now responsible for 3 deaths. Meanwhile, the Glass Fire is burning in Napa and Sonoma wine country. More than 100 homes and other buildings have been destroyed in that fire, along with a winery and at least one 5-star resort. And many more buildings are still threatened, so tens of thousands of people have had to evacuate to safety. Thousands of people who live in the area are also dealing with power outages. PG&E purposely shut off power, hoping to avoid power lines sparking more wildfires. As of early this morning, both fires we're talking about were 0% contained. And it's still not clear exactly what started either of them, but the weather has made fires like these more likely. Red flag warnings are in effect for most of Northern California right now, since meteorologists have forecasted hot days ahead with low humidity and high winds. The Red Cross is helping with evacuations as well as emergency supplies. If you want to help out, you can text CA Wildfires to the number 90999 to make a $10 donation, or we posted a link to donate more online in today's episode notes. Well, speaking of donations, I want to take a quick break for our sponsor, Liquid IV, who is donating 3.7 million servings of Liquid IV in response to COVID-19. They'll be sent to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. I love that this company gives back. And of course, I drink Liquid IV as well. Reports have said dehydration occurs daily in 3 out of 4 people. And I know whenever I feel that afternoon slump coming on or I have a headache, one of the first things I ask myself is, am I dehydrated? And usually the answer is yes. Well, after I drink some water with a packet of Liquid IV, my headache usually goes away and I'm feeling much more energized and ready to focus again. Liquid IV explains that it's so effective because it uses the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium to deliver water and nutrients into the bloodstream. The perfect balance to help you hydrate more quickly and effectively than water alone. You can choose from a variety of flavors like passion fruit and lemon lime. They are all great, so try it out and get yours. Liquid IV is available nationwide at Costco and Target, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use the code NEWSWORTHY at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you use the code NEWSWORTHY at liquidiv.com. All right, now back to the news. Researchers may have found new evidence that Martians do exist. Well, at least tiny underwater bacterial life. Italian scientists reported new evidence of an underground lake near Mars' South Pole. And this is a big deal because it raises the odds of microbial life swimming on the red planet. Researchers say it appears the lake is about 15 miles across and is surrounded by other small lakes and ponds. They don't know how deep the water is, but they say it begins about a mile below the surface. They also think the water is super salty, which may prevent it from freezing. They came to this conclusion after looking at data from the orbiter Mars Express. It has spent years circling the red planet using ground-penetrating radar to search for water. Still, some scientists not involved in that study are skeptical. One told NBC News, Mars is far too cold for liquid water to exist, even if it is salty, and that if there is water, it's probably only trace amounts, not a full lake. Either way, these new findings could affect future Mars missions. Halloween and Thanksgiving are not far away now, so the last couple of weeks, the CDC has been releasing new guidelines that could help people prepare for those fall holidays without starting new COVID-19 outbreaks. First, let's talk about Halloween. The CDC broke down certain activities and events based on risk. As far as the high-risk categories go, it listed trick-or-treating, indoor parties, and haunted houses. But there are safer ways to celebrate Halloween. The CDC suggests some lower-risk activities like small outdoor and socially distanced costume parties, parades, socially distanced pumpkin patches, or pumpkin carving with immediate household members only. Some drive-in theaters are also hosting scary movie nights. The CDC also wanted to point out a few other things to keep in mind. First, Halloween costume masks are not the same thing as protective face masks, so it suggests people consider a cloth mask with a Halloween theme. Also, the CDC put out new guidelines for Thanksgiving gatherings. It says the best way to prevent the spread of COVID-19 is to skip holiday travel this year and hold a virtual event instead. It also says potluck dinners are a no-go and suggests just sharing recipes. For people who do want to hold some kind of in-person event anyway, it says an outdoor event is better than an indoor one. We've linked to the CDC's full recommendations in today's episode notes. The Tampa Bay Lightning are now the 2020 Stanley Cup champions. The Lightning beat out the Dallas Stars 2-0 last night in Game 6. This is the second time the hockey team won a championship in franchise history. You may remember Tampa Bay also won it in 2004. But this one is extra special. It's the first time any major sports title has been decided since the coronavirus pandemic forced all sports to shut down back in March. The season was restarted last month, and from that point on, games were played in a so-called bubble. But a few Lightning players were quoted last night saying it was all worth it. Now they get a short break before the next NHL season starts up again in December. The iconic mansion from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air will be available to rent on Airbnb. Starting later this morning, fans can book the place for a one-night stay in October, and it'll only cost $30. That's because Airbnb, Will Smith, and the current homeowners are teaming up to welcome in guests in honor of the show's 30th anniversary. Remember, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air was one of the most popular shows back in the 90s, and it made actor Will Smith a household name. There are some limitations, though, to this rental. As of now, the mansion is only available for 5 select dates next month and only available for LA locals to rent. And that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. Today's trivia question is, how many carats is the largest diamond ever discovered in the United States? You can answer this week's question in our quiz posted to Instagram Stories, so find and follow us on Instagram at NewsworthyPod to play along. As for last week's trivia question, which country consumes the most chocolate per capita? The answer is Switzerland. On average, the Swiss eat about 19 pounds of chocolate per person each year. The country is well known for having premium chocolate, too. Toblerone is probably one of its most recognizable brands, but the makers of Nestle and Lindt are both headquartered there as well. Shout out to Christina, Sammy, Tess, Tom, and everyone who played along on Instagram. All right, thanks again for listening and making the Newsworthy part of your daily routine. We'll be back with more news to know tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.